are now about to witness the strength of geek knowledge.
I geek out about TV shows. I geek out about music. Star Wars, of course. Fantasy stuff, Lord of the Rings. Star Wars, of course. God geek.
Here it is. It's the God Geeks podcast. Welcome to another episode. We got a quick intro for you because we got a lot of content today.
Too much geeky stuff.
Too much theology. We talk about the Christ Hold Fast City event in DFW that we were both at. And we also talk about The Walking Dead and Westworld. Surprise, surprise. But a couple of superhero comic book movies that James is excited about coming out. So let's get right into it. It's the God Geeks podcast, and this section of the show is called Jedi Mind Tricks.
I don't believe it.
That is why you fail. You must unlearn what you have learned.
It is Jedi Mind Tricks, the portion of the show where we get into theological thought and thus the name Jedi Mind Tricks.
Yeah.
it's very clever, we know. but hey, we had an exciting, you know, weekend this last weekend.
GospelCon.
The Christ Hold Fast City event for DFW was at our church. And it was, in my opinion, a great success. I mean, it was wonderful to have. It was wonderful to have so many people come from different areas to a one-day conference on a Saturday in beautiful North Texas. And it was a pleasure to play music for them and a joy to meet people and hang out and with a lot of people put faces to names.
Yeah, it was fun to meet and talk to the podcast hosts I listen to all the time.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so some of the people that were on the schedule, you have kind of a rundown of who all spoke and kind of what they spoke about.
Yeah.
So let's run that down for the listeners.
Sure. So the theme was basically grace and storytelling. So the parables.
Yeah, the text that the speakers were sort of using to shed light on some truths were the parables, which is a tough job. It really is.
I realized that kind of listening to the whole day. That's not easy.
Yeah. Well, it is easy because the parables are told by Jesus and ultimately about Jesus, but it's hard to unpack that.
Well, I'll get into it a little later.
Let me say that differently. The parables reveal something about Jesus, and a lot of them actually are parables where he uses a parable to talk about the kingdom.
Yeah.
So Christ and his kingdom is what is being revealed in the parables, and sort of the character of who he is and as our God.
Yeah.
And all that being said, it's still a very difficult thing.
I've got kind of some insight on that in a second, why maybe it was difficult for me before, and now it's starting to be a little easier to understand the parables.
Right.
You've already hit nail on the head on why. I didn't, for years, I was making them about myself, about application, about, you know, okay, what am I supposed to learn from this parable to change my behavior, change whatever.
Uh-huh.
And they make so much more sense when they're, you know, about Christ, when they're about the kingdom.
That's a very profound thought, because it's actually everything in the scriptures makes more sense
when Christ is at the center of it.
but it's not an easy thing to remember, and it's not an easy thing
into
it's a lot easier to read things in a self-improvement way, but I think a lot of times you know, it's our human nature to do that, but I also think, you know, there's cultural influences in that, and we've pared down a lot of the text down to verses, which here's the truth about it. I mean, you know, there are things that you can hear and learn in those parables about that are very convicting to
sure.
you and cause you to take inventory of your own life and remind you of your identity in Christ and
right.
and the need to be more Christ-like. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
But that's never the center of it. The center of it is who Christ is and his work for you.
Yeah.
The sufficiency of his work for you.
So the cool thing about this conference was, I mean, we were there from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. I mean, and a lot of it was just spent looking at the different parables in Matthew and Luke. And it's probably the first time I've spent an entire day focusing on the parables and reading multiple parables and hearing explanation of multiple parables. And what was really unique for me was seeing all the parables in light of the other parables and in light of the other context brought into it, the Old Testament context and just Jesus's ministry in general, that context, and just having an entire day just doing that. I mean, it just, everything started to kind of pop and connect.
That's good.
And that was kind of cool.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Makes me want to go to more conferences like this.
Who all were the speakers?
Let's see. In the morning, we had four speakers, or three. Dr. Daniel Van Voorhees, and he spoke on the Pharisee and the Tax Collector.
And he is one of the co-hosts for the Virtue in the Wasteland podcast, which I got a chance to tell because Jeff Mallinson actually was the MC of the event.
Uh-huh.
And so the two hosts were both there, and I got to mention to those guys because they asked me about the God Geeks podcast actually.
Oh, cool!
And I said yeah. I said we like to refer to ourselves as the Beavis and Butthead of the version of Virtue in the Wasteland. Virtue in the Wasteland.
Yeah.
So they thought that was funny.
And then Daniel Emery Price spoke after him and spoke about the Good Samaritan. Elise Fitzpatrick from Front Porch with the Fitzes.
Yeah.
Laborers in the Vineyard.
Uh-huh.
She did a great job.
Really, really sweet.
Yeah. I didn't realize she was sitting in front of me the whole time. I didn't realize it was her.
Her family's really sweet.
Yeah.
I mean, they're just...
I met her son, too. He's really cool.
Yeah, and he's really... Yeah, he's a great guy. He really is. I got a chance to meet them last year in Florida. So
at the other conference.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Cool. And then there was a panel with the three of them, and I thought that was great.
It was.
It was really good.
That was one of my, I think the highlights was that panel.
Yeah,
that
it was really good.
I'm you know, very entertained by and really enjoyed Dr. Van Voorhees.
Yeah.
And his personality.
Yeah.
And
was he really a child actor, and was he really in Power Rangers?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, because I went on IMDb. I couldn't find anything. But anyways, that's a whole nother...
You did research.
I want to know, which ranger was he?
Of course you did. I don't know that he was a Power Ranger.
Okay, but he was... Okay.
Right.
Oh, was he the bully?
He was probably on an episode.
Oh, okay. Okay, I gotcha. Okay, and then for some reason, they had you singing for a little bit.
Yes, they did.
Which was actually pretty awesome.
Oh,
for me, that was one of the best parts of
Well, thank you. Of course.
But I get that every Sunday, so whatever. And then in the afternoon, we had Donovan Riley talking about the lost sheep and the coin.
Uh-huh.
Caleb Keith talked about the prodigal son,
which is Dr. Scott Keith's son.
Yep.
And Dr. Scott Keith
was ill.
Well, we won't get into his whole situation, but pray for him.
Yeah,
I think he's getting better, and so his son filled in for him and did a great job. Yeah,
great job for one of the first times doing that.
Absolutely.
I think he said, and I was like, really?
Well,
that was pretty good.
That's what I told him. I said, you know, it's not fair to get up there and say this is like my second time to get up and speak in front of everybody because you instantly win everybody over, and then it's like it's not fair.
no matter
what you say from then on out, everybody's rooting for
you. Well, and the funny thing was, I think the last. Episode, he's on Virtue in the Wasteland too, right?
He is on...
Or Thinking Fellows.
Thinking Fellows, yeah.
I listened to an episode of that, and he was debating about doing seminary or not, and I gotta say, if that's what he's doing without seminary training, that wouldn't be a horrible thing to do.
Yeah.
But anyways,
just
he can join S&P with me. And then Chad Bird rounded it out at the end with The Wicked Tenants.
Yeah.
Which I thought was really, really good.
I thought that all the speakers did a good job. And so out of the stuff that you heard, what were some of the things that really stirred you as far as maybe challenged you a little bit or?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the main thing was that I've been looking at the parables still, not with a Christ-centered focus. Like I was missing things that, it's totally about the kingdom. It's totally about Christ. And what also struck me was how interconnected they are with the Old Testament. For example, the parable of the wicked tenants, I mean, virtually the first four lines of it were referencing in Isaiah, I think. Yeah, in Isaiah. Like, it was just word for word. And I was like, I've never seen that connection. Yeah. And I'm assuming that Jesus's contemporaries would have seen, the Pharisees would have seen that connection and be like, oh yeah, you're gonna finish that story for us? Right. Okay, let's see how this goes. And that was kind of eye-opening to me. And just seeing Christ at the center of all the parables was just
And then
so
also
amazing.
Seeing that with the example you just gave, Christ is the center of the Old
Testament.
The
Old Testament too. It's all, you know? Center of everything. Yeah. Well, everything.
Yeah.
But and just the strings that tie everything together, the shadows in the Old Testament, even in the parables, Christ is fulfilling prophecies. I mean, he is
right.
what everything spoke about in the Old Testament. It's great.
The parables are as we've already said, a very difficult thing that I believe, even Saint Martin Luther, made some mistakes on.
Sure. Okay.
And one in particular being, there's the parable where, there's a parable where Jesus tells the kingdom of God is, or the kingdom of heaven is like this, a man, finds something in a field and he goes and he sells everything he has to buy that field.
Yeah.
Right.
You know,
and
that one's never made sense to me.
Well, and so Luther, I believe, and I don't want to misquote him or anything, but Luther and so many other church fathers have said that's about, giving it, that we find out that our faith is, so precious and that we, want to give it all away because it's the real thing of value, sort of the eternity, it matters most to us kind of mentality. And this is how it's been interpreted for a long time. And then I heard Dr. Gibbs at the seminary, say, I just respectfully disagree. I believe it's Christ saying that we are sees in us such great value that he sold everything to buy us back.
Yeah.
And when you read it that way, you go,
in light of the other parables, that makes perfect sense.
Of course it does, because
it's a prodigal
it's always
God.
About Christ and his work for us.
And
it needs to remain about Christ and his work for us rather than what we do, to value the kingdom of heaven.
Yeah.
Obviously that can be up for debate. Obviously some amazing theologians have said one way, and then some other pretty amazing theologians interpret it with really the person and work of Christ at the center. And I think when you do that, it's kind of like that's going to be the answer. I mean, that's the right answer. Okay, I mean, it's kind of like the children's message answer.
Jesus, Bible.
Jesus.
yep,
Jesus
you're right.
is the answer. I mean, that needs to be the answer.
Yeah,
And it really is. That when Christ is when Christ and his work is really the answer, you're really probably not ever going to go wrong with that. So, one of the things that, and I think it's important to say that I don't believe that this was the point of his talk, but one of the things that Dr. Van Voorhis really struck me with personally, and it needs to be sort of explained before I even say it, that I am looking at this as a reminder to me of my identity in Christ. In other words, I believe Christ has done everything for me, and that my identity is now in him. And so now I can hear something that, that challenges me or calls something out in me, corrects something in me. I can hear that not in a condemning way.
No,
I can hear it in a way that reminds me of, who he is and what my identity is like in him. So I'm not meaning, for our listeners or anyone else to say, here's what I want you to take away, and be condemned by or really wrestle with. I'm saying this is what happened with me, and I was reminded about, and it was the word that he used, and the text used, was those who have contempt for their brothers.
Mm-hmm.
And it just reminded me, you know, if you ever need to be reminded just how holy you're not, think about how many times throughout the day or just your posture in general, in which you have contempt for people around you. It can be small things or big things, but the amount of contempt in our culture right now is, let me not even put it on the culture. I'll just say about myself, really struggling with myself.
Me too. Is
the amount of contempt that I can muster up at the drop of a hat for anyone. And that being called on me, that's a necessary thing for me to hear personally. I'm not putting that on anybody else. Mm-hmm. It's a necessary thing for me to be reminded of, hey, that's Christ is the only one that really has any right to have contempt, and he didn't do that. He had he had love and compassion, and a lot of stuff. It's really too much stuff to talk about.
So much to talk about,
and a lot of it personal. I think what's nice to see is that everyone's affected and hears different things. Mm-hmm. And I heard a lot of good gospel. I heard a lot of great gospel stuff happen, and a lot of people really. Mm-hmm. Put at rest, put at peace, you know, unburdened. So that's a beautiful thing. It's always beautiful when that happens. And that definitely happened to me. And then the Lord was stirring some things in me. And I think, you know, if there's 140 people in there, 140 different, stirrings are going to be happening because that's the way the word of the Lord works. So, it was a blessing to have a good conference
I'm hoping to go to another one wherever they end up having it. Well, there's the San Diego one next year.
The San Diego one is going to be fun.
500 year anniversary.
Yeah. Reformation.
That's cool.
Which we need to get into. We need to get into some Reformation talk.
Let's do that maybe next episode.
Yeah. But right now we're going to get into
some geek talk.
Yeah, this week in geekiness.
C-3PO has got to be the real nerd.
It's against my programming to impersonate a deity.
Darth Vader was a cool character too, although he was the evil one.
I find your lack of faith disturbing.
It's time for the geekiest thing you'll do all week, maybe. I don't know. Y'all are pretty big geeks. This
it depends
week
on
geek,
what you're wearing right now. If they're all cosplayed out right now.
Oh, actually, I had a friend this past week was at Walker Stalker Con in Atlanta, which is the Walking Dead convention.
I have not heard of this.
Yeah. They film it near Atlanta, so it makes sense they have a big Walking Dead convention. Sure. She met Norman Reedus and... who else?
Walker Stalker Con.
Yeah. She met a bunch of the main actors.
So the
cool.
fans are the stalkers.
Yeah. Walker Stalker. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
Anyways, we might have to go to Atlanta someday.
Yeah.
Okay. Geeky stuff this week.
I barely go to Comic-Con when it's in Dallas. I'm not going to Atlanta. But anyway.
No, you're not.
All right. So let's get to the good stuff.
Yeah. You want to talk Westworld or Walking Dead first?
Let's talk Walking Dead.
Okay. Let's see, 30 minutes ago, finished this week's episode.
Okay, and so we talked about on the last episode...
The season opener with...
How the season opener had disappointed, I guess?
Yeah.
I was not excited about the show.
Nope.
Tell me, has anything changed after the second episode?
A little bit, yeah. I'm intrigued. I'm intrigued about this the kingdom and what's going on there. King Ezekiel... I think I like his character. I like the fact that he broke down and kind of told his backstory to what's her name? Blanking on her name all of a sudden.
Carol.
Yeah. I kind of like that because if they had played it up too much, like this guy's delusional, thinking he's a king and he's got a tiger and yada yada yada, I don't think I would have bought in too much.
It was hard to buy.
I felt like
it was
Carol.
It was hard to buy for the first 30 minutes.
Yeah, when Carol starts to laugh and whatnot, I'm like, yeah, I feel that way too. This is a farce.
And until they did that part where he kind of came clean, it wasn't a very believable character. But for the context of the show.
Right.
Here's what here's what, you know, I liked this episode. Obviously I hate it because I feel like everything that they're doing is so predictable now. Mm-hmm. And I already know what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
The reason you say, I think I like King Ezekiel is because they're making you like him.
Yeah.
They're totally. They've got now what they are trying to paint as the ultimate bad guy. Mm-hmm. Now they want to have this ultimate good guy.
A good king.
And they're going to kill the king. You know, Ezekiel's going to die, and that's going to show us really how bad Negan is. And then Rick and the group, who these characters
will be able to keep around.
Yeah, they can now have to deal with Negan to avenge the death of the good king.
Yeah, a more interesting storyline, which maybe they'd go this route, is King Ezekiel starting to turn, go black hat, if you will, to use a Westworld term.
Yeah.
But I don't see that coming.
No,
I don't think that's going to happen.
I think the show's writers, unfortunately, and this is not a condemnation, it's just an observation, and I hope they surprise me.
Yeah.
I hope they make me look stupid, because this would mean the show is great.
Yeah.
But I feel like the writers are not that sophisticated. I don't think they're not anymore. I think it's maybe just, and this may be my own disappointment sort of spilling over mm-hmm. into the rest of the sort of, now I'm sort of really skeptical.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're lulling me into a sense, but I got to be honest with you. You can go back and listen to the episodes. I knew they were going to do what they did with Glenn.
You called it.
I mean, that he was going to come back to life. And then when they killed him off, it's like, okay, you guys could be writing a soap opera.
Yeah.
It's not a sophisticated plot line.
I think, after
everything we've seen that they did to set Negan up, like he's the really, really, now the guy, we know the governor was bad, but this guy is really bad. We need a mechanism to make this guy really bad. And so we're going to use this Ezekiel. We're going to fall in love with mm-hmm. the goodness of this kingdom mm-hmm. and Negan's going to come and destroy it. They're already showing their cards that's going to happen by Ezekiel's paying off Negan's group behind the scenes and
yeah.
keeping his people in the dark about it. Cause he doesn't want them to happen. You know, I hate to say it this way, cause it sounds, I couldn't do any better. I'm not more sophisticated.
No, I'm not.
I just think they have these really obvious things that they do, and mm-hmm. it's okay. There's mm-hmm. it's a TV show, but there was a pretty obvious Carol picking fruit in the garden while King Ezekiel is walking in the garden kind of moment there. And then you have her wanting to leave the garden
uh-huh.
and him saying, what if, you know, you could be in and out of the garden.
Yeah.
And so, I think they're trying, with the scriptures and stuff that they're quoting the King Ezekiel on the wall in the kingdom and stuff. They're really painting him as a Christ figure.
Yeah.
And you know, that's kind of obvious, but, which is interesting because the Jesus character we haven't seen.
His name is Jesus.
Yeah, we don't know where he is. So
you know, I was thinking, I would have rather they had turned Walking Dead into more of an anthology series, where every season or two we jump to a different set of survivors.
Use the setting. Yeah,
yeah. And that was Fear of the Walking Dead was kind of that. But I would rather every year let's move.
Well,
to a different part of the country, even, and have smaller
story arcs. It's the same
writers
for Fear of the Walking Dead, and Fear of the Walking Dead is not sophisticated at all, and it's not very good at all.
It might be played out by now.
I think, unfortunately, the show has turned a corner.
It jumped the shark.
What they tried to do, yeah, it did. They did.
Yeah.
They jumped the shark. The Fonz jumped the shark. They've gone to a place where the trajectory is now firmly downhill.
Yeah.
But again, I hope they prove me wrong. I hope I look
stupid. And they're trying to use Ezekiel, even the stuff Ezekiel says, they're trying to, okay, we all had our hopes and dreams crashed last episode, but there's still life.
Yeah.
There's still hope. There's still grace. There's still all these things.
Yeah. Well, and it's a really obvious move. And there is something interesting to talk about. there was a comment in the show, and I don't know if they know that this is actually
okay.
I hate to be so insulting to the writers, but
did they know what they did?
I don't know if they know the depth of this comment, but the question that Carol asked Ezekiel was, why do you care? Do you remember what his response was?
Because it makes me feel good.
Yeah. That's an amazing insight, because your first thought is, he wants to bring something good in the world.
No.
But the fullness of the reality of it is he doesn't care.
No.
Because if you're doing something that makes you feel good, you don't really care. You're just acting like you care.
Yeah.
So that you can get people's response.
Yep.
And so you don't really, so if the truth is he's doing it because it makes him feel good, then he doesn't really care about Carol or any of the people. He's just doing it to make himself feel good. Which means
there's a Jedi mind trick there,
which it means he doesn't really care. And I'm not sure they meant to make you think about that. I don't think they did, but it's there.
Yeah.
But anyway, let's get to
Westworld.
Let's do it. You have a...
Oh, I was texting you too much, I think, and you hadn't seen it yet.
Well, I think you have a theory.
I was so excited.
You have a theory that you're developing that I want to hear more
about.
Here's
the thing. I thought my theory was unique. I was so excited, like, maybe I'm the only person who saw this.
Well, tell me about that. Tell everybody what the theory is.
Two timelines. That the A story and the B story aren't at the same time, that the A story and the B story are 35 years apart. So basically,
what are the two storylines?
Two storylines are, you've got Dolores and the Man in Black, that stuff going on, right?
Okay.
And that was in the first episode. In the second episode, we had the young man, I forget his name, blanking all of a sudden, who puts on the white hat, who is there with his future brother-in-law, and they're going around, yada, yada, yada. And that's the B story. And that's kind of been the A and B throughout. Okay. And C might be the...
So the philosophy is that which one is 30 years ago?
30 years ago is the one with the young man, and that he is actually the Man in Black. And we are seeing the Man in Black's origin story at the exact same time as we're seeing the Man in Black trying to find the center of the maze.
Okay.
And I thought, well, I wonder if anyone else has seen it. I went online. It's like the number one theory right now. Everyone's saying that.
Okay.
But... and then there's lots of breakdowns. And after the last episode, because I was starting to think that going into that episode, and I hadn't really brought it out yet because I thought it was just a little too crazy. And, I don't know about that. But then this past episode, I think it really, it's a real possibility. I think there's some connections between the two characters. And we've never seen them in the same room together.
Right. But it's the same Dolores.
Same Dolores. Yep.
Right. Interesting. I'm wondering... And that could very much, it's a good theory. I mean, I think
one
it's,
of many it's, out there.
fascinating. I'm wondering if the Arnold guy, who was his partner, is not dead, and he's at the center of the maze. I mean, that's not a very sophisticated.
No, or maybe a artificial intelligence version of him. Maybe he's downloaded himself into a network. I mean, those are very sci-fi things
that
could happen.
Here's another question for you. The Man in Black, he says, they used to be so sophisticated, and now you're just flesh and bones like us, and they did it because it's cheap. Are they cloning? Are the new versions clones with except instead of a brain?
So
they
here's something interesting. If you went to the website, right when the show was kind of starting, you went through that whole rabbit hole of hacking it and all those kinds of things, and signed up to be a person who would go to the park, a guest of the park. One of the waivers you signed in doing that was that the park would own any of your DNA that you leave behind in the park, whether that be blood, saliva, whatever. Yeah, they want your DNA.
Yeah.
So the theory is that they are taking DNA from the guests and using it to grow the hosts. Uh-huh. So the hosts definitely are flesh and blood of sorts.
Yeah.
Right. But with
and bone
and bone too.
They're showing them. They're showing them mixing around in the white stuff, and everything in the show. But that could all just be. Well, I mean, they have that in the background. And
it's
everything.
Some type of synthetic flesh and blood, but it's definitely.
Well, could that be maybe the old kind?
Maybe.
The new kinds are clones.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and then that's how somehow they have a brain, but they have their brain's being overridden by some sort of a software that you can update and stuff. But so they're human beings that actually have.
Well, I mean, when the one host crushed in his own head with that rock, I mean, it was wet matter. So it's definitely some type of synthetic, organic that they are.
Okay, so that would have been in the modern storyline.
So how much of it? So if they are cloning people, there's always the idea that maybe some of the memories are getting in there too of the actual people.
That's what I'm.
That
was kind of like, you know, if they're clones,
then everything's really creepy.
Well, if they're clones, you know, then they can just reproduce the same body, and they can just reproduce a bunch of the same bodies.
Yeah.
But they're somehow, I don't know. Yeah. So it's probably more like a synthetic, like you're talking about. It's probably not clones, but, there's some sort of cyborg type thing happening. I think now that they're so real, because the whole idea of the show is that we're making them more and more like real people.
Yeah.
Well, it doesn't get any more like a real person than a clone,
right?
A clone person without a real brain, but, fascinating. Who knows?
I'm loving that show.
It's a great show.
So even, I texted you the title of the episode. I'm blanking on it all of a sudden. But the title basically meant the punishments you receive in purgatory or hell that are based on your sins in life.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's just so many layers,
there's a lot of layers to the show.
And last time I talked about the songs were a layer. Now I'm looking at the titles.
We just got through talking about a show that's not sophisticated. Now we're talking about a show that is the level of sophistication, at least so far.
Yeah.
It looks like a major twists and turns coming up and more layers. And to me, it's a show. If they do it right, they can take this same idea into the Roman. I would love to see
the other worlds.
Yeah.
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 And what I learned the other day, I didn't realize this, Westworld the movie had a sequel called Future World, which is a lot about cloning and DNA and all those
now
kinds
we're
of
on
things.
To something.
So maybe.
I didn't know that either.
I didn't know until the other day.
Well, and I wonder how much. I need to watch the old Westworld because I wonder how much.
It still holds up. It's so good.
How much homage they're actually paying with some of the comments and the things that they're saying.
Yeah, there's some. Yeah. But they're going a completely different direction.
Right.
But hey, different day and age. If that makes sense.
A lot of fun.
Yep.
A lot of fun. A lot of things to geek out about. And we've gone too long, but that's okay.
Oh, no.
so we'll see you guys next week on the God Geeks podcast.